Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we are doing on New Year's Day evening, Sunday evening. And joining me from Naples, Florida is Bobby Marks. Bobby, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brian. Happy New Year to you. Thanks.
So there's been a lot happening in the NBA over the last few days. There's like seven or eight different guys have scored over 40 points. Like on New Year's Eve, but December 30th, I swear there was like eight guys who scored over 40 points. It was like a wild day. Luka's going crazy. But you know us, we tend to always look at the other side because it's more interesting. And so I want to start off today, Bobby, by talking about what's plaguing the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are definitely one of the more disappointing teams in the league to this point. They're not completely out of position. They're only in 11th place. Right now they're five games under 500. They've lost six games in a row. And this is kind of the lowest point because on Saturday they lost at home to the Detroit Pistons. Anytime the Pistons beat you, it's not good, especially when you're at home with their sixth straight loss. And look, they have been without Karl Towns for the last 16 games. They're 6-10 in that stretch. Recently, Rudy Gobert has been out of the lineup a little bit with illness. And so some of these games, they've been relatively shorthanded. They've had some other guys who have been out for long stretches, Torian Prince, Jordan McLaughlin, who is their backup point guard, but is a key player for them. So I want to be clear before we talk about this. They are definitely have dealt with injuries, but there is a lot, you know, affecting this team right now. Their competitive, I don't know what you want to call it, Bobby, their competitiveness has definitely been questioned, especially in the second half of some games, especially in the second half of that loss against the Pistons. They had a players-only meeting for about a half hour afterwards, although some guys tried to deny it and say, we talk after every game. Okay. Chris Finch, their head coach, is kind of exasperated. I was with them about 2.5 weeks ago, and he was exasperated then. And that was really before things went from bad to worse. And of course, everything about the Wolves this year centers around the Gobert trade. And as the Jazz have played well, although they've come back to earth and had a couple of close losses in this last couple of weeks, and they're now under 500. As the guys that they traded there, like Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt and Walker Kessler, who is definitely a serious candidate for all rookie, I would say, especially as a defensive player. He's looking great defensively. The type of player they wanted to get, you know, for Gobert, or, you know, that they were trying to get when they traded Gobert, plus all the picks. Bobby, it's just been a tough situation in Minnesota. And Tim Connelly, the general manager, has been a bit of a pinata during the stretch for the Wolves fans. You've obviously been on the other side of this where you've made big trades. It's a stressful time there for them right now.
Oh, I mean, they went all in, right? So when you swing for the fence and you go all in, like we said, this past offseason with the Gobert trade, like you only have really one chance at getting it right. The jury is still out. I mean, they were 10-11 with Towns in a lineup before he got hurt. As you mentioned, they're 6-10. I think the concerning point for me is their point differential in the second half is minus 12. Mm. I mean, that in the last six games during this six game losing streak here,
that's the average.
Yeah, that's the average. They were non-competitive in the second half to Detroit. Brian, their bench was outscored 65-20 in the Detroit loss. So that's, you know, you had lost to Miami in that stretch. You didn't play Gobert down the stretch. You played Naz Reid instead. I thought they're probably their best game in the last couple of weeks was the loss to New Orleans. You lost by a point, which was a tremendous game. I mean, that was the Zion taking over. I guess we call it football or basketball or one or the other. But
yeah, that was so funny because, you know, earlier this year, the Pelicans were just exasperated by the lack of calls. And David Griffin, I think, said something, and TJ McCollum said something, and like they were like, we can't get a call. And now you've got, you know, the Wolves in that game, which was, you know, a moral victory, I guess, considering all the guys who are out complaining that Zion gets all the calls and that he's bowling people over and not getting called. Just a classic ref complaint situation in the NBA, but go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. You. I think we're, what are we, almost 40 games in. And I still don't think, even though there's been injuries, we don't know what their identity is. Last year, their identities, they ranked, I think, seventh in offense, offensive efficiency, tops in 3-point makes, attempts. I think top 10 in percentage. This year, they're trending kind of towards the bottom. The guys they signed in the offseason, Kyle Anderson's been hurt. You know, Bryn Forbes has been getting DMPs, Austin Rivers, some of those minimum guys here. As you mentioned, Torian Prince has been hurt. You know, Cat certainly. Now you're relying on a bench that is below average. I think it's going to be interesting here going forward. So they had this players only meeting after the Detroit loss. Chris Finch came out and said, basically, like, I'm going to just start playing guys who I think should be on the court. I think you're going to probably, what you'll see is you'll probably see more of like Wendell Moore, their first round pick out of Duke, and Josh Minot, who they drafted out of Memphis. Like, I think you're going to see a little bit of their younger players. They've got Denver, Portland, and the Clippers. Those are their next three games, all at home. But you're right. I mean, they're 16-21, but they're, what are they, a half game out of 10? You know, between them, the Lakers, I think probably OKC, those are the three teams that are jockeying there. But here's the question, as you know, like, who in that top 10 is going to fall out? Is it going to be Utah? That would probably be the lone team here. So I just don't know what their identity here. I would have loved, you know, I'd love to have Carl Anthony Towns in the lineup for 35, 40 games, and we can probably make a better assumption. But without him here, I mean, you know, they have to be, you know, either making shots or getting stops, and they haven't been able to do, you know, haven't been able to do either.
Well, yeah, that was their style of play last year. Their style of play was high tempo, high scoring, high volume threes, run and gun. It's one of the reasons why that series that they played with Memphis was so entertaining. It was because they played kind of this wild style. And Tim Connelly, and by the way, it wasn't just Tim Connelly. You know, their Mark Lowry, who's their incoming owner, I believe he has to buy a piece of the, you know, another tranche of the team this year. And then I think can buy the rest at the end of next year. I guess it's this year now, 2023. But he's influencing policy already. He wanted that trade too. It wasn't just Tim Connelly. From what I understand, he was a driving force in that trade too. But one of the reasons why they wanted to do that is they wanted to clean up the areas that they, you know, saw that they didn't think that the way that team played was going to get them to the next level. Now, it was really enjoyable for the fans. It's an organization that has really done everything they possibly can to drive away their fans for the last 15 years, whether it's losing franchise players to demanding trades from Garnett to Kevin Love, you know, Wiggins didn't work out. He was considered a franchise player at one point. You know, the Thibodeau thing was a tease, and then Jimmy Butler wanted out. I mean, like, there's been this long stretch where those fans have been bashed over the head with very little to celebrate. And then they finally had a team to celebrate. And I think it was a responsible concept by Tim Connelly and the ownership to say, okay, well, let's take the next step. And they just paid so much for it that they really made their margin for error small. Now, what I'd say is they didn't invest in Gobert for 1 year. Like, they saw this as a multi-year play. You know, quite frankly, Chris Finch, I was there in the preseason. I talked to him about it. And, you know, I really like Chris Finch because he's frank. And he said, look, people look at what Gobert and Donovan Mitchell were in Utah, and they go, well, they never made it to the finals, or they, you know, they got eliminated in the playoffs. He was like, they made it to the playoffs six straight years with the number one overall seed, had a great chance. Several years had, you know, if things had fallen differently, they could have been in the conference finals or finals. He's like, if we got a 6-year run like that with this group, we would be thrilled and we would see whether we could maybe maximize a little bit more. You know, they knew that Gobert had limitations. They didn't expect him to walk in and everything to be perfect. They knew it was going to take some time, but he has really, I think, really frustrated the fans there and frustrated his teammates, because earlier the season, he kept having turnovers. They would like run plays, pick and rolls for him, and the ball would go through his hands. And I don't have the number in front of me to tell you how many of those turnovers he had, but for the Wolves and their fans, it felt like 100. And there was some frustration there. And then his defense was good, but like, wasn't like game changing like they thought. And then the injuries came in, and look, their best player. I mean, you can debate about whether Ant Edwards is their best player, but their best player is really Karl Towns. That's the guy they gave the $200 million contract to. He's barely played. He came in late because he got the illness in the preseason, and it totally wrecked his preseason. He lost a bunch of weight, and now he had the calf injury, which frankly looked like it could have been a lot worse. Bobby, I don't think they really have much of an option here other than to wait and hope that they are able to patch it together. This is what Gobert has been preaching. Gobert has been preaching patience, patience, patience. But you can, the natives are getting restless there.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fans are getting restless because they saw what happened the year they made the playoffs with Tibbs. And then all hell broke loose the following year with the Jimmy Butler situation. And now they felt that they were, you lose to Memphis in a great series here, that they were one player away. And, like, I've been there, like, when we made that big Boston trade of back when, like, we lost to Chicago and we thought we were one player away to compete with Miami. Right. And when you do something like that, if you don't get it right, it, will haunt you for a long, long time here. And how this roster is built, I mean, they're going to be faced with a decision with Anthony Edwards this summer. They're going to essentially have probably three max players here. And not have a choice about it. And, Gobert's got, three more years. Towns, the Supermax hasn't kicked in yet. You're stripped of your draft assets. It's not like this is a situation like, Chicago or some of these other teams where we say, well, now we got to pivot here, right? Like, it's hard to pivot right now because Gobert is his trade value is not there. Towns can't be traded. And you're basically looking at, some of your smaller pieces, D'Angelo Russell's contract is one of your bigger pieces, but what is the value of him on an expiring contract in a point guard heavy league here? That's the hard part here, is that you're basically, the next thing would be is you just fire the coach, right? But Brian, I mean, like, that's how we always see it. Like, not now, but you go into the offseason and be like, well, maybe it's somebody else that can, shape this roster differently than how Chris Finch is. But you wrote the great piece before the season started. Like, Chris was involved in the decision making.
He was
like,
he was totally for it. Unless he was doing a great acting job on me, he was totally for it.
Yeah, which is different than when we went through with Jason Kidd back in 2000, I guess it was 2013, like Jason hadn't coached a game yet. So like, we really didn't even know what kind of style he was going to play. Like, so when you get all these, the Pearson Garnetts and the Jason Terrys and Kirilenko and those guys here, like, you're just hoping it works out. Like, you already know what kind of, the input that Chris is willing to kind of, or how he's willing to change from a year ago and how Rudy's going to be involved. But I mean, you just look at their trade assets as far as what they can't trade, which is their first round picks. They only got 3 seconds, Brian. I mean, that's it. They can move in a deal. And they've got some of these, they've got a lot of guys on minimum contracts. You've got Torian Prince's, I just don't see the value in there unless your bench, right? Like, your bench, you're asking the Austin Rivers of the world to play 25 minutes, guy who signed a partially guaranteed contract. So that's what hurts, is when you have got Jordan McLaughlin, you mentioned, that are out. You're asking for your 13th, 14th, the back end of the guys to play either start or play significant roles.
So the D'Angelo Russell situation is interesting. He is making like third last year of his, or is he 28 million? It's around 30. He's in the last year of his contract. they really seem to be struggling at times this year with getting consistent point guard play. And, you know, they kind of are, they kind of need a veteran leader. Not that D'Angelo Russell isn't that, but like I said, that they could use a guy like Mike Conley. It doesn't appear Mike Conley is available, at least right now. But if they've got to pay all of these salaries and they've got to kick Ant Edwards up to a max, which is what he's, can they afford to trade Russell for somebody with a lot of money on his contract, even if sort of upgrading? So like one player, I'll just say this as a hypothetical, underline hypothetical here. One player that I have thought about would be, could they call Miami and get Kyle Lowry? Because he's a type of veteran guy who I think would really help them. And I think that the Heat might be interested in getting out from that contract. This is a hypothetical. Do we all understand that? Thank you. But that would be adding a whole bunch of money to their books. I don't know if they're in position to do that with where their salaries are, Bobby. And I'm not, but I'm also not sure that they're going to re-sign Russell unless he takes a significant pay cut. And that was going to be a challenge before this year. Even if everything was going well, that was going to be a challenge. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. I don't know. Like, they genuinely miss Patrick Beverley. Not that Beverley is the prototypical floor general, but they miss what he brought to them. They need a veteran lead guard like that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was texting with a team before I jumped on here, and I was just picking their brain about Minnesota. And you know, one of the things they said was like, who on this team is kind of willing to get their hands dirty? Who's kind of the little bit of the enforcer here? That, you know, the when things, who's the one who can deal with adversity here? I think your Miami point, the hypothetical that you mentioned, that's kind of the direction that you have to look at, because the Edwards extension doesn't kick in until 24-25. So you have a little bit of a 1 year window where you can take on salary. You only have $120 million committed for next year. The luxury tax is 164. So, you know, by taking on Kyle's number or a player like that, you can still do that and stay under the tax. And I'm sure if you're Miami, you would be like, hey, you know, we want to maybe pay Gabe Vincent or Max Strus or one of these guys who are going to be free agents again, you know, upcoming unrestricted free agent. So that's the type of deals that you're going, because you're not going to pay D'Angelo Russell $31 million again, like to be your fourth or fifth best player when you're already committing big money here. And this free agent class, let's face it, coming up, you know, for if you're Minnesota, you lose D'Angelo, you're basically looking at, mid-level exception type money here in an average free agent class. So that's the direction that if you're the Timberwolves, that you would want to go in here, which were, hey, we're willing to take on salary, but it can't be salary that extends past the 23-24 season.
Well, that's why Conley and Lowry both fit into that situation. I'm not sure where that would be. Like, I don't know how the Heat would view Russell fitting into their operation in a year where, you know, they're underperforming, but they still have high hopes. But that, you know, I think Minnesota was already, I think, going to have some big questions in front of them even before this. But I would just say that my general feel on Minnesota is, as bad as it looks right now, I think you got to take Gobert's advice and you just got to wait. You got to wait for Towns to come back. You got to wait for them to try to settle down a little bit, try to, like you said, find that style of play. But it's gotten kind of ugly there and they're taking fire right now. So we'll see how that goes. One thing I don't think is going to happen is I don't think D'Angelo Russell is going to sign an extension. He is extension eligible.
One of 29.
Yeah. So yeah, you did this the other day. You talked about the 29 players who are eligible to be extended. And this is something that has definitely developed in the last 3 to 5 years under the current CBA. We didn't usually see players sign extensions in their, you know, while their season was going on. It was unusual. You maybe saw it, what, once every 2-3 years? Once.
Yeah, we didn't see it. I think there was an average of like maybe two. And then really it picked up around, I guess, what, 2019? 2018, 2019, like we were getting, yeah. I think we're averaging like 14, 15 guys a year here with extensions. It's the old sign now and then ask out later type, you know, that
right.
we see with players.
Yeah. Lock your money in now. So there's a couple of guys I want to talk about, where that is going to be a discussion point over the next couple of months. One of them right off the bat, and this has already been reported on, I believe the Athletic reported on it a little bit, about Miles Turner and the Pacers. You know, the Pacers have entertained trade talks with Miles Turner for multiple seasons now. But the Pacers are in an interesting situation, Bobby, with Miles Turner or anybody else they might want to extend, by the way. Could you explain that real quick?
Yeah, so he's both, actually. He's extension eligible, so they can add an additional 4 years to his contract. They can extend him for 4 years, $97 million. However, because they have cap space, Indiana does, he also is renegotiation eligible. So basically what you can do is you can take his starting salary and bump it up to the max salary. So you can add about $18 million there. Bump it up for this
year.
Yeah. You can basically give him like an $18 million advance, but he basically doesn't have to pay it back for this year. So can you imagine? So we're in January right now. So you're basically giving him an $18 million number to play another 40 games here, which is a humongous thing. The caveat with that is that how extensions work usually it's like an 8% increase or an 8% decrease. That's the maximum allowed. However, with renegotiations, you can bump it up and then you can drop it down 40%. In the next year. We saw it with Robert Covington back in, I think, 2017 here. So, you know, Turner can go up until like $37 million this year, and then they can drop it all the way down to $22 million for next year. And then that's more of a manageable number. The renegotiation, you have up until February 28th to do that, the extension part until June 30th here. So they're kind of an interesting position. I don't think, Brian, that the renegotiation part doesn't come into play until after the trade deadline, which is right. February 9th. Because you want to see what you have. You don't want to use room. You know, maybe you're taking back you know, some contracts, or you know, hey, they're 20-17. They're in this, like, you know, they're
for sure. They're Tyrese Halliburton, just another killer performance in the clutch, outgunning Paul George on his old floor over the weekend. Paul had 45, but Halliburton was just incredible in the fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah. I mean, like, so, you know, Turner's an interesting guy. You know, we've always talked about him and Buddy Hield as kind of the trade guys, but you can lock up Turner now, maybe on a good number. You're still going to have plenty of flexibility. The Halliburton extension is similar to Anthony Edwards. Like, he's rookie extension eligible this coming off season. His won't kick in until 24-25. You've managed your books here. Hield eventually will come off in another year. So if you think he is, you know, kind of your, you know, starter going forward. You could always move him down the road. You know, you can move him, you know, whatever, 6 months, which would be the summer if you want to do something here. So similar what Detroit did with Bogdanovic. You know, they extended him for another 2 years and he becomes a little bit more valuable as a trade asset.
Yeah. So I oftentimes get asked questions by casual NBA fans about whether NBA players can renegotiate their contracts, like we see all the time in the NFL. And, you know, the NFL teams are always creating salary cap space by moving salary around, converting it to bonuses or what have you. You can't renegotiate contracts in the NBA with this one very rare caveat, because it is unusual for an NBA team to have appreciable cap space. Almost every team spends up to the cap. Most of them exceed it, but up to the cap or very close. You remember that the Pacers signed DeAndre Ayton to a contract or to an offer sheet. What was that number? 30?
Yeah, it was like 31, right? So, yeah, so that was where the room went. Well, the room now is the Ayton slot that has now opened up.
Right. So they had to create the $30 million in space on their books to offer Ayton. It was matched. Now they're sitting there with a $30 million hole, which they have spent a little bit of money, but not most of it. And also remember, there's a salary floor. You have to spend up to a certain number, or you have to distribute that what you're under to the rest of your team. That's what happened last year with Oklahoma City. They didn't spend to the floor. They didn't have anybody they wanted to renegotiate and extend. And so they gave all their players, what did every player get? Like $1 million, Bobby?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the most ever that a team has given out. I mean, you're looking at, you know, this year, San Antonio and Indiana are the two teams that are, well below the floor. The penalty is, you know, as you mentioned, the only penalty is that you have to redistribute that money to
your team. The point is you have to spend the money anyway. So, yeah. So if you're going to spend the money, you might as well spend the money on creating, you know, taking care of your players or creating an asset or adding to your team, as opposed to, you know, the Thunder last year weren't going anywhere. They were in a unique position. Okay, so Miles Turner is one to watch. It is crazy to me that he might actually end up signing there long term. I did not see that at the start of the season, but certainly to them. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Another guy that I think is interesting that is getting some attention is Christian Wood, who is a polarizing player to some because he sometimes puts up really good numbers, but then it doesn't always translate, but then sometimes it does. And he became eligible to extend his contract on Christmas Day. So Luka has been killing for the last 3 weeks. Killing. Which Luka executed in back-to-back games, Bobby, intentionally missed free throws that won the team games. One of them, he intentionally missed a free throw, got the incredible rebound against the Knicks and put it back to force overtime. Will be probably one of the highlights of the year in the NBA. Then they played the Spurs the next game, and there was a second and a half left, and the Spurs had a timeout, and the Mavericks were up by one. Luka was at the line with one shot. So if Luka makes a free throw, the Spurs can call timeout and advance it and be able to set up some play. Now, 1.5 seconds, that's a big ask to try to pull that off. But, you know, they would have had a shot at it. Luka intentionally misses the free throw perfectly, and the ball comes back to him, and he runs away from people and it kills the game. So the Spurs never had a chance. Two totally different situations with him perfectly executing a missed free throw. So he has been amazing. He had 51 in that game against the Spurs. But Christian Wood has been really good in their 6-game winning streak. And now all of a sudden Dallas is in fourth place. And Christian Wood is really contributing. So Bobby, that's a tough call. The Mavericks have a dearth of, you know, higher end talent on their roster. And this is a guy who is putting up numbers for them and is facing unrestricted free agency. I don't know what his market would be, but there will be some interest in him. Like, do you think the Mavericks keep Christian Wood?
Yeah. So you mentioned extension eligible, 4 years, $77 million. You can do that up until June 30th. You know, there's, I think, 10 teams that have cap space this offseason. I think if you're Dallas, you'd probably like it to do it on a probably a shorter term deal, probably a 2-year deal, maybe a team option in the third year here. If you're Christian Wood, you're looking at what is the marketplace? Can I get more than $18 million per year, or can I get more years? Remember, two of those teams that have cap space are teams he played for, you know, Houston and Detroit. So you can
they both traded them.
So you can kind of, now we go through the process of elimination here, right? As far as all these teams that have room, you know, certainly, you know, we won't go through, but Charlotte, you know, we'll see what happens with Miles Bridges there. They're a team that, could have room this off season here. But the Wood situation is interesting too, Brian, because, like, hypothetically, let's just say he's traded. Right. Let's say he's traded tomorrow in early January here. Well, now all of a sudden the acquiring team is now restricted to what they can extend him to. Right. So now that 6-month rule now goes back into effect. So basically he's only extension eligible for like 2 years. I think it's like $34 million, $33 million here. So there's no incentive there for a team except for acquiring his bird rights. But you look at Dallas's books, you've got, you know, with Luka and Dinwiddie's contract eventually is going to become guaranteed, and Hardaway and Kleber and all these guys, you lose him, you're basically kind of in another, you're in another Jalen Brunson situation, right? You're not, it's not like you're going, you can go out there and you all of a sudden have a $19 million slot to go out and
that's the thing. Like, Christian Wood and Jalen Brunson are very different in across the board. But the Mavericks' mishandling of the Brunson situation last year, how could it not inform them on how to handle Christian Wood? That's going to be an interesting one. Here's another one that I think will be interesting. Dylan Brooks, the Memphis Grizzlies, extension eligible, having an excellent year, had an incredible interview. Tim Bontemps is writing about this in the Hoop Collective column that is coming out on Tuesday. So I don't want to steal the thunder from some of the interview that he had in his comments over the weekend in Toronto, but just in some incredible stuff, Dylan just really coming into his own, both as a defender and with Memphis's injuries that they had, there were times where he was just gunning, but as a valuable player, Bobby, and plays wing defender, a valuable position. Memphis has flexibility on their books. They have signed Ja to the max. You assume that Desmond Bane's money is coming. Do they extend Dylan Brooks? Is Dylan Brooks going to take what they can offer him? That's the other question.
Yeah. I mean, 4 years, $62 million. That's the most they can offer him based off his, the average player salary, times 120%. I hope that, and talking about extension, I hope this is one of the rules that actually gets fixed. I don't know if it would impact Dylan Brooks, but it would be, you know, these guys that sign team-friendly deals in the next CBA where you can extend them not off 120%, but based off what the percentage of the cap could be. So for Dylan Brooks, it could be up to 30% here. Like we saw with Zach LaVine last year, Jaylen Brown, guys like that, where maybe you can give him a little bit more money. But I think Memphis is interesting. Zach Klein and their GM has been active when it comes to extensions. I think there's 7 players on this roster that have signed extensions. But the beauty of Zach, and one day I'm going to write about this, hope maybe this year, is that he has it. There's a salary structure on how they pay players. So they have, you know, certainly Ja and then Jaren, and then Desmond Bane is eventually is going to be that third guy, but they paid Tyus Jones a percentage of the cap because of what his role is. They paid Brandon Clark a percentage of the cap because of what his role is. Like their pay is, you know, Dylan Brooks might be their third or fourth best player on a team, and they're not going to go out and pay him $25 million. That's just not how Memphis has constructed their roster here. And they're a team that never goes into, you know, they go into the summer with cap flexibility, but they always use it towards their own players, right? Like
because they draft really, really well.
Yeah. That's kind of how they're structured here. And I think Bane, you know, you mentioned, you know, Bane's like, you know, the other two guys that we just mentioned with Edwards and Haliburton, he's extension eligible this summer.
I mean, all three of those guys are getting the max, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the,
I mean, I, you know, I call it the fun max, the first max.
It is
the fun
because max. Like, as it, you know, I've had teams tell me this too. It's not, you know, we always talk about extensions. They said, you know, it's not the first extension. The first extension is like, you can get out of, like, you know, there's always a get out of jail free card eventually there. And it's only 25%. It's the second and third ones. It's, those are the big ones where you get yourself in trouble here.
The fun max. Everybody loves the fun max. So yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that's $16 million a year, give or take, on rounding. Dylan Brooks might think he can do better. I don't know. We'll see, but I'm sure they will try to get that done. I want to go through a couple more. Jeremy Grant. One of the reasons why Detroit traded him was because I don't think that they were comfortable with giving him the type of extension that he wanted. So he's gone to Portland. They've been up and down. Injury related though. But he's been a good pickup for them. Definitely a value pickup for what they sent to Detroit for him. Is a free agent if you let him go. I'm not sure what his market's going to be, but he has real value there. And I think Dame Lillard likes playing with him. And that's a factor in this. How do you see that one?
Yeah, big wings are a premium. He'll be 29 when free agency hits here. His is interesting because right now he's only eligible for 2 years, $45 million, but that changes this upcoming Saturday, which is the 7th. That changes to 4 years, $112 million, because that 6 month restriction from the trade now will be lifted here. So I think if Joe Cronin, their GM in Portland, puts that in front of him, I think Jeremy Grant would sign that. I think there's too much of a risk here. And I think
at age 29, I think he absolutely would. I think the more question is whether the Blazers would do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, here's the situation with Portland. Lillard, Simons, Nurkic, like, they're not a team that has flexibility going forward either. Like, that, you know, you lose him and you're now, you know, you're kind of back to where you were a year ago here. So you have Lillard, you just signed him to the extension. You know, Grant would be in the prime of his career here. So that's another one here that if he becomes a free agent, I think his value, you know, and in the open market, it's hard because some of the teams that have cap space are the rebuilders, right? Like the team he just played for, Detroit. Like, he's not going to re-sign back there. Right. He already did that here. So I think if that number's there, he would sign it. It's just a matter of what's the, you know, are they comfortable doing all 4 years, or is it 3 years? Or is there, you know, we see a lot of conditions on the last year. Is it tied into certain incentives here? So yeah, that's a good name to keep an eye on.
All right. Here's one that you talk about a rebuilding team, Jordan Clarkson. Yeah. So when he signed that contract with Utah, Cleveland traded him there. He was an immediate impact player off the bench. Utah was in their comp, they're competing for a title at the time. They signed him to a 4 year, like, one is like 58. Is that about the range they signed him to? Yep. And I remember when he signed it, feeling like that was a pretty fair deal for both sides. Well, he's arguably outplayed that contract. He would probably say he absolutely has outplayed that contract. Utah has to spend their money on somebody. I don't think Utah wants to get into bidding wars, but they have other extension eligible. They have other guys that they may want to keep long-term on the roster. Malik Beasley is one of them, a guy if they don't trade, they might want to keep around. He's under the 6 month provision right now. Right. But what do you think about Jordan Clarkson as a guy? To me, if you're the Jazz, you either extend him or you trade him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let him get to free agency.
So if you traded him, then he's no longer eligible to sign an extension with his new team, even if it's only for an additional 2 years, because remember he's got a player option in his contract here. So by doing it, the 6 month rule is in effect. You can only give an increase of 5% here. So you have to actually come in where that player option is. It's interesting because he went from sixth man to kind of, he's there, you know, into that starting lineup here. And you're right. Like eventually you do have to, you know, he's got a player option. He's extension eligible for 4 years, $72 million. You know, basically the player option gets, it's basically 3 years of new money, because the player option is basically kind of being reworked here. But you have Sexton. You said Conley's next on a partial guarantee next year. Beasley's got a team option. If you can do something in that, you know, that $16, $17 million number, a little bit, you know, where that player option is, then I would be, you know, I'd be comfortable as far as doing that. I think it's more of another guy, the length of the years, 32 years old. This summer.
So, is he really?
Yeah.
While time flies.
I was teasing. I was talking with Kobe Altman in Vegas, and we were talking about because it was right around the time they traded for him, like Christmas Day, the day before Christmas, I think, way back when.
He was a deadline pickup. They might have traded him.
They traded him. They traded him to Utah. Like okay. December 23rd, because we were talking okay. about no trades ever happened during Christmas. And he says, well, we traded Jordan Clarkson. I think it was the post, you know, the first year after LeBron had gone.
Yeah, yeah. They were breaking Utah, down.
On December 23rd. And yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I remember when he was like this second round. What a find by the Lakers back in their doldrum years. Yeah, well, I definitely think that we could see some of this stuff happen, and it will affect free agency this summer. There are more teams with room this year than last year, and I've already talked to agents who are, you know, already banking on that, saying, well, you know, my guy is going to get a chance. But I'm going to say that also the draft lottery is going to make a big difference here, because the teams that are going to have space, like Charlotte, depending on what they do with Bridges, which is a whole nother topic, we'll wait and see what happens there. Houston, Detroit, as you mentioned, like any of these teams get one or two in the lottery, it's going to completely change their strategy. So like if you're banking on, you know, those teams to be there, they may totally be looking at something different. So it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of these guys look at this landscape, regardless of that, Bobby, and end up doing deals. Again, like you said, probably in that zone between the trade deadline and about March 1st, where teams sort of get their rosters all set, want to set themselves up. Thank you for your insight. As always, you are invaluable to us with your knowledge and your experience. Thank you to Jackson, our producer. Hope everybody had a good holiday. We are back to our normal rotation. We'll be talking to you on Wednesday. Take care.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.